The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Yeshaya Yaffe, Chaber Sefer Shvilei Tzion, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
As we begin the new parak, Naira Amorasa Aviyu Ubailo Mefir Nedareho, perhaps a brief discussion of the exact anatomy of the Aviyu Ubailo Mefir Nedareho arrangement would be in place. Whether the partnership between the father and the husband is equal partnership, they both have equal rights, or is the father still in the driver's seat like he was prior to the Erusin? However, that once the Arusa becomes an Arusa of the husband, of the Arus, he also has rights to nullify her vows, and together they can be Mefer or Mekayim her vows. However, because of the great detail that this would encompass, including the next few blot and the Rishayim, as well as the Sefri over there on the Psukim, I therefore rather choose a more local topic, a point of interest that comes up here in the Ran. The Mishnah continues, Hefer Av leHefer Abal, Hefer Abal leHefer Av, Eini Mufer Ve'in Tzarech Leimer Shekayim Echad Mehem. Whether the father did a Hafara without the Baal, or whether the husband did a Hafara without the Av, it is no good, because obviously you need both of their participations in the Hafara. Ve'in Tzarech Leimer Shekayim Echad Mehem. And of course, if one of them was Mekayim the Neder, which means that he authenticated the Neder, he certified it as opposed to nullifying it, of course that is going to contradict the ability of Hafaras Nedarim here on behalf of both of the partners. The Gemara asks, why do I have to say Ve'in Tzarech Leimer Shekayim Echad Mehem? Obviously, if you need to have Hafara, and if without both of their Hafaras nothing happens, the Neder is still Kayim, the vow is still standing, why is it necessary to even say that one of them is Mekayim? It will be a deterrent. It's quite obvious. The Gemara says the reason why we have to say that is for the following case. Hey, for echad mehem mekayim echad, the chazar mekayim v'nishal halakam osay, ma'ol detayim ma'idu uki ha'akrei, kamashmol and the mefirim shneim v'bas achas. I might think that even though one was mefir and then the other one was mekayim, and now he was shoyal on his akoma, so basically he's eradicating his akoma, and now he can go be mefir again, kamashmol and the mefirim shneim v'bas achas. You need to have both of them to nullify the nether together. They both need a simultaneous hafara. Obviously not at the same second, but you definitely cannot have a point in middle where there was no hafara possible. So if the father was mefer and then the husband was mekayim, or vice versa, of course, and now it is a point where the hafara cannot take place because the husband was already mekayim. So although there is a din of sheila where he can be shoyal on his akoma, similar to the general rule of sheila, which means you can be shoyal to a chacham and uproot a nether, who then you are able to uproot the akoma, the certification that you did to the vow that the woman made, and then you would get rights to be made for the nether. So I might think that now, basically, if you look in retrospect, basically you have a afar from the father and a afar of the Baal. Kamashvalon, that no, since the two afaras were not at the same point, and there was a akama in the middle, that would not be good. The she'ela would not do that much for us to eradicate the akama completely, that we would be able to see as if the father and the husband both did the hafara together. Rather, they would have to go and be mefer again together now. The Ran brings down from the Rashba the following question. The Gemara says in Nedarim, in Ksubas, HaMekadosh HaShe'isha Almanas She'en Aleha Nedarim, if somebody is Mekadosh HaShe'isha on condition that she doesn't have any vows, V'nimtu Aleha Nedarim, Einim Mekadoshes. For example, if let's say a woman said a neder that she would never eat meat, and this person specifically married the woman on condition that she doesn't have such a type of vow, he's not interested in getting involved with such a woman. The halacha is that the kedushin does not work. What if she goes to a rabbi and she's shoyal, like the din of she'ela by in the dorm, that she could be shoyal on the nether? Then the halacha is that she is mekudeshes. That's what the Gemara says over there in Ksuvas. So the Ran asks, b'shem the Rajma, that why then over here do we say that the husband, let's say, has to go and be mefer again? In other words, let's say the father was mefer and then the Baal was mekayim, and then the Baal was shoyal on his akoma. You need to have, besides for the Baal to go and be made for now for the first time, that the Av should be choizer and he should made for again. Why don't we say that his first Afar could join and be partners together with the Afar of the Baal now? Why is there a problem? She'ela is oikil mafreya, apparently, like the Gemara and Ksuba seems to say. Again, without going at great length into the Gemara and Ksubas over there, which says later on that might have to do with the sugya of Adam Reitish at Tisvaz Ishti Bebezdin. But all in all, the Rashba wants to know, like the Ran quotes, that why don't we say that the she'ela is oiker the neder may ikrei, to the extent that over here the she'ela will be oiker the hakama may ikrei, and it will be as if both hafaras were considered done simultaneously without hafsak in the middle of hakama tabal, which was eradicated completely by the she'ela's chacham. So the Ran says, b'shem the Rashba, that no. Over there where you have a Maisa Kedushin, so when you do a Maisa Kedushin, there was an action of a Maisa Kedushin that took place. There was just a little bit of a problem with it, that it was on condition that there shouldn't be any vows, and there were vows. So that Maisa Kedushin, which did take place, is a little bit on hold, because there are Nadarim. So the Kedushin cannot work, it cannot have an effect. But it's not like we eradicate the Kedushin regardless. It was a Maisa Kedushin, which perhaps won't work because of the vows. So if you erase the vows, the Maisa Kedushin which happened is still around. However, here, once the Hakama of the Baal took place, the father's Hafara completely disintegrates. A Hafara is not as strong of an existence as is a Maisa Kedushin. A Maisa Kedushin took place, and it's not getting deleted, just perhaps it won't work if there's vows. Take away the vows with the Sheilas Chacham, then there's nothing to worry about, the Kedushin is reconstructed. However, with regard to Afara, you can't reconstruct Afara. And if the Afara lost its ability to join up with the husband because the husband made a Hakama, then although the Ned, the Sheilas Chacham can be Iker, the Hakama, Lamafreya, it wouldn't be to the extent that it would rebuild the lost Afara of the father. That's what the Ran says. This thing actually came very, very negayla maisa recently in a very far-fetched scenario. The story goes back a couple of years where a friend of mine was leaving to Montreal for Pesach from the tri-state area, and like many, he was in a great rush to leave, and he noticed that there was a bag of all the challah that was hufrash from the dough over the last few months in the freezer, but he figured he'll just sell it to the guy together with the rest of the chametz because he doesn't have time to get busy with burning it now. Lo and behold, he was living with his son on Chol HaMoed Pesach in Montreal, the Mishnah in Pesachim in the third parak, which says clearly that there's an Isser of Bal Yiro on Challah, and you can't sell it because it's Mamon Koyin, but it's still called enough yours to be over on Bal Yiro. So he ran to the rabbi and he said, what should I do? I have Challah in my freezer, and I'm over on Bal Yiro, because Hoyal V'Yiboy Mitchell Alei, the Gemara says, L'maskona, since one has the right to be Shoyal on the Challah, to go to a Chacham and nullify the vow of challah, even though it's not the regular neder, but the din of challah is subject to she'ela as is nedarim, and he could make it ois challah. Therefore, it could become his retroactively, and it will be his. That's enough to make it that he's over on Bayiro. So he got very nervous because the Mishnah says that you can't sell it because it's mamon koyin, or at least that's mevor, and still you're over Bayiro. What should he do? So the rabbi told him right away to call somebody in his hometown, and he should go into the freezer there, take it out and burn it. So at that point, when I heard about it, I sent a message to the rabbi that, according to my humble opinion, it might not have been necessary to burn it. Rather, he should have been shoyel by a chacham on the challah, and he'll be mafresh the challah again after Pesach. What is he going to gain from this? That if he's shoyel on the challah on Pesach, it will retroactively become chulin, and it would therefore be included in the sale to the goy because now it is retroactively his. And memela, he won't be over by yiro. And of course, there's a few difficulties and technicalities with regard to Elchus Chala, that since we're in Chutz Laaretz, the halach is that he could be oichel v'oilich v'achakach mafish, and all the dough that he has eaten prior to Pesach would not be a problem that he was eating tevel, because the rule is that by Chala, in Chutz Laaretz, you're allowed to eat and then be mafish later. So again, when he will, quote-unquote, get his Chala back from the goy after Pesach, he could go and be mafish to dough and be kairishem on the Chala. But the main question was, if somebody is going to nullify a hafrashas challah from prior to Pesach on Pesach, would that now trigger that the challah will be like everything else that he sold to the goy retroactively from prior to Pesach or not? Which is very relevant to what we're discussing over here about the power of a chacham being oiker nedre meikir lemafreya, that the vow is completely nullified retroactively from prior. Do we say to the extent that now the challah can be considered retroactively included into the sale? Many of my colleagues agreed with me on this idea. However, some scholars were reluctant to agree with this because even if we say that a chacham is oiker nedre meikroi, not necessarily would a retroactive nullification from the vow be powerful enough to now recreate that this dough was included in the sale to the goy. A very interesting shaila. Could you be shaila on challah on Pesach and it would therefore be retroactively included in the sale to the goy? This concept about the retroactiveness of Sheilas Chacham comes up in numerous places, just for a couple of examples. The Minchas Chinuch talks about somebody who was Mekabel a Hektish, a Pekodin, on a Chepet Shel Hektish. So the rule is that Hektish is not really subject to the Dinim of Shomrim. like the Gemara says in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Vav. Mechitz Chinuch wants to know, what if he accepted responsibilities on the Chayvet Shel Hektish, and then the Matkid, or the Maktish, was Shoyal on the Hektish? So retroactively it was now Chulin. Do we say that the Kabbalah Shmira is retroactively one of responsibilities? Obviously, besides for the fact that maybe he didn't have intentions. Similarly, let's say Eidim made a Shvua, and then they were over on the Shvua, and then they were witnesses for a Kedushin. Presumably the Kedushin is no good because they were over on the Shvua, they're Pasul Eidus. However, then they went and they were Shoyal on the Shvua. So retroactively, the Avera of being over on the Shvua is nullified, and now they didn't do the Avera, so maybe now they're retroactively kosher. And thirdly, we find that if someone is Sheikhet Chulin, Sheikhet Kachin Bachutz, and then he is Shoyal on the Hektish, if that would be called Shchutei Chutz, or we say that no, retroactively, it is no longer Hektish. There's a Taisus increases Daf Yud Gimel about that, and a Turei Evin in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches, and the first two questions I mentioned about the Shmira on Hektish, and about the Eidim with the Shvua, are cleared by the Mechitz Chinuch. But staying more focused over here, the main question we're discussing is really twofold. Number one, the din of Shailas Chacham L'mafreya, is that really literally L'mafreya? And B, if it's L'mafreya, would the sale be able to be included retroactively on the stuff that has now become Chulin L'mafreya, like the Chala that we're discussing? Now, I soon learned that the whole idea about whether L'mafreya, Chacham Ikri L'mafreya, if we passing like that, the dina is a subject of controversy. First of all, we find a Tshuvas HaRashba that says clearly, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei and Timreish Chav Ches, that if somebody was Noyder Hanoh from a Kikr, and he would like to eat the Kikr, he may eat the Kikr with the intention to later be Shoyal Eitzel HaChacham. So we see clearly that he's using the power of L'mafreya, that you could be over on the nether and eat the Kikr that you prohibited on yourself with the din of Koinam, with the din of a vow of a nether, because you're going to be Shoyal on it later. And there's two points to that. One of them is, you see, that a Chacham could be Eitzel Nedem Eikroi, and B, that you're allowed to go L'chadchila and act accordingly. Since later I'm going to retroactively uproot this vow, I can already now go and do it. However, there's seemingly some type of confusion about this, because in Sif Hei over there in Timon Reish Chav Ches, the rule is, based on Yerushalmi in the 5th parak in Adurim, that if somebody's neither Hanoh from a city, he's not allowed to go to the rabbi of that city to ask him to nullify the nether. Even though, presumably, if the rabbi will give him the heter, then he'll be retroactively not usher in the Bnei Ha'ir, including the rabbi. And if he won't give him a heter, then he wasn't nana from the Chacham. So what should be the problem? Now, the Rivash and many others have a whole different explanation of this Yerushalmi, which doesn't have relevance to us. However, numerous sources, including the Rajba, seem to hold that that's the scenario. That since Shelas Chacham is only Oikil Mafreya, and you do not have the Shelas Chacham yet, you therefore can't do it. The Vilna Goyin in Simon Reish Chav Ches, Sif Yud Ches, on still a third halacha, about if someone was neither Hanoh from his Shver on certain conditions, and then he wants to go there for Shvuas, whether he can go there based on the fact that he's going to be Shoyal on a Chacham later, or he has to be Shoyal prior to the Yontif, when he wants to go and commit the thing that he promised not to do. And it's a great discussion over there in the Paiskim, and the Vilna Gaon says that this whole thing is really contingent on a Gemara, and the Rishonim's way of explaining that Gemara. Really a fascinating Vilna Gaon. And Simon Reish Chav Ches, Sif Yud Ches over there in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says in the Dorm Daf Peitesam at Beis as follows. There was a fellow who said that he is not going to enjoy anything in the world if he gets married before he learns. The Gemara tells us how the fellow tried to learn and it didn't work out. So basically, he was doomed. He wasn't able to get married. So Rav Acha bar Avuna tricked him and got him to marry a woman. And then he got him full of mud and brought him in front of Rav Chista. And Rav Chista was Matan Neder. The Rishonim differentiate between how to explain the Gemara that he got him full of mud. The Ran says that he took this fellow who got married and he got him all dirty, and since his clothing were so dirty, he knew that he's going to need the cleaners. He's going to need cleaners. He's going to have to come on to other people. So since it's impossible for him to function this way, he's going to have to be Matan Neder, because he made a koinam that he's not going to be Neder from the whole world if he gets married before learning properly and it didn't work out. So he has to be Shoyal L'Chacham. So he was wearing his clothing, and he's going to be Shoyal L'Chacham retroactively. The question is, how was he allowed to wear the clothing in the first place? He said he's not going to be Nana from the whole world. Once he gets married without learning, he shouldn't be able to even enjoy the clothing. That's part of the world. You're not allowed to enjoy anything.
The Rosh says a different explanation. The Rosh says that he filled him up with mud meant that he wasn't wearing any clothing. And he filled him up with mud, basically, to cover his, to make him tznius, so that he should be respectable, he shouldn't be walking around without any clothes. So basically, the Ran explains that he had him dressed in clothing, and he got mud all over it just to get him out of the nether. Whereas the Rosh says that he wasn't wearing any clothing. Says the Vilna Gaon, you know what the pshat in this machlokes is of how to explain the Gemara of Sharkei Betina on the top line of the Tzadik? The machlokes is what we're discussing. Do we paskin that a chacham is oikin neder me'ikroi to the extent that, or actually I should say, are you allowed to go and be over the nether based on the future she'ela or not? The Ran held that you're allowed to wear the clothing because you're going to get a she'ela, and retroactively the wearing of the clothing was not an aveira because you got a she'ela. However, says the Vilna Gaon, the Rosh didn't hold like that. The Rosh held that you're not allowed to go wear the clothing, and therefore the Rosh had to say that he was wearing mud with no clothing. Because according to the Rosh, says the Gaon, you were not allowed to be over your nether until you actually asked the Chacham. Now there's two ways to explain this machlekes. One way to explain the machlekes would be beautifully that the Rosh is going to Shitasi in the sixth parak in the Nedarim, who holds that a Chacham is only oiker the nether mikanu la'aba. Reb Shimon Shkop elaborates on that, and that really doesn't align with what we've been discussing here on Daf Samach Zayin and everything else. The Rashba, however, holds that a Chacham is Oiker and Adel Mafreya, and that is the prevailing Shita in Shulchan Aruch, as well as the Shita Saran, as the Gaon is explaining here, that you are allowed to be over the nether and then be Shoyl. So again, there's two points to discuss here. First of all, is the Chacham Oiker and Adel Lemafreya, or only Mikana Labo? And even if he's Oiker and Adel Lemafreya, does that mean that you're allowed to go Lechatchila prior to the Sheilas Chacham and be over the nether because of the future Sheila, like it sounds like the Ran is saying? Or you're not even allowed to do that, even if a Chacham is Oiker and Adel Lemafreya, you're still not allowed to go and commit it Lechatchila. So the point that I'm trying to bring out here is that I thought that it was quite clear that a Chacham is Oiker Nedel Mafreya, the way the Ran says it here on Daf Samach Zayin, and the way the Gemara seems to say in Ksuvah Zayin Dalid, as well as many other Rishonim. However, it seems from the Vilna Gaon that it's not so clear, and it's at least a Sfeika Dedina and a Machlokes Rishonim, if you can go and do something based on the fact that later there's going to be a Sheilas Chacham. So if the reason why you can't do it is because it's not appropriate, or because we're scared that you're not going to end up doing the She'ela, then in our case where you go and you do the She'ela, then the question only would be if the power of Lamafreya is strong enough to put it back into the Mechira. On that point, I actually found in the Nefesh Chaya Simon Beis, as well as the Yeshuas Malkoi, in the Tshuvas and Arachayim Simon Lamates, that they seem to be quoting a Tshuvas Arajba about a woman who was neither Hanoah from Reuven, and then Reuven was Mekadasher, and then she went and she was Shoyel Chacham. The Rashba says that the Kedushin is not Chal. And based on that, the Nefesh Chaya wants to say that Hu Adin, if somebody is mafkir his nechosim, and then he is shoyel on hektish, would the hektish retroactively go into the hefker? Which has a striking resemblance to our Iker question about if somebody sold all his nechosim to a goy, and then he was shoyel to a chacham on something that was already hektish, or chala for that matter. The only thing is that even though the Nefesh Chaya over there is machmer, and he says it wouldn't go back into the hefker retroactively, maybe hefker is more similar to the hafara in our sugya, while the mechir legoy is more similar to the kedushin in our sugya, because you have a mechira on all the other items, whereas a hefker, even if you have it on all the other chosim, let's say he's mafker kol chosov, but maybe a hefker is a little bit more flimsy than a mechira, and it's similar to hafara. That still has to be ironed out. So all in all, we discussed whether or not a chacham can be oiker neder meikroi, or it's only mikano la'aba. And of course, maybe that means Mikana Labo Lamafreya, like Rav Shimon elaborates. And even if it's Lamafreya, does that mean really, really Lamafreya? And even if it's really, really Lamafreya, does that mean you could go Lechatchila and be over the nether based on the fact that you're going to get She'ela later?
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.